last thing. Well, matter of fact, you guys can go ahead and pass out the Bibles and pencils while we're doing this. If you're in need of a Bible or a pencil to keep notes, raise your hand, and these gentlemen will make sure you have one or the other, so they'll pass it over to you. It's all yours. And by the way, if you need to keep your Bible, this Bible we're giving you, it's all yours. Please, no charge for it. Take it, use it, and enjoy it. But for all of us, let's make sure we have a Bible to study with. While that is being passed out, I would like to mention this. Maybe you'll be able to hear right now or somewhere during this time through my sniffles and voice that I am fighting a bug, and so I will not be at the door later to greet you. I'm just letting you know that so that later you don't think that I just that I don't love you anymore or something. But rather, I'm just trying to show my love by keeping you away from this bug, whatever it might be. Luke chapter 5 is where we're at this morning. Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. We invite you to turn there with us. Luke 5, starting at verse 1. It will be an awesome day for Peter, but the night was anything but a good one for him. You see, as we come to Luke chapter 5, Peter has had a hard night of fishing. A night that concluded with nothing but empty nets. He and those with him had thrown out the net over and over again, but had not caught a fish. So morning has arrived, and they're on the shore there. But although it has been a really rough night, something is about to happen that will change Peter's day. But more than that, of course, it will change Peter's life. And that which is going to happen all hinges upon, or at least it has opened the door by five particular words, or what five words represent, what we're about to read. So I invite you, as we read through this section now, see if you can spot the five words that open the door for Jesus to do an awesome work. Luke 5, starting at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, this is Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Did you see the five words that I'm referring to? There's five words here that represent that which ushered in all that happened to Peter. It speaks about his response, and as I say, open the door for God to work. They're found in verse 5. And they're the title for our time together this morning, and I trust they'll become a challenge, an exhortation, and an encouragement to each of us. It's summed up in the five words there near the end of verse 5 that says, "At your word, I will." That's what I've called our time together this morning, "At your word, I will." Let's pray. Father, what an awesome love you have. Each of us sit here, the recipients of the greatest love that has ever been. In your love for us, Father, you've reached down and made known to us not just our need, but your answer. You've invited us to come into a fellowship with you, to walk with you, and to discover your plans and purposes, to know why we're here, that you would even speak to us, places us in awe, Lord. So, Father, as we gather, that is our heart's desire, Lord, take this time and continue that work. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, we gather as those who are perhaps some here hurting, be it physically or emotionally or spiritually. Maybe there's relationship issues. Whatever it might be, thank you, Lord, that it doesn't push you away, but you care and you wrap us up and you minister to us. And Lord, in this saving of us, thank you that there is that plan, a purpose for each and every one of us. Lord, help us. Help us to hear. Help us to receive it. Help us to act on it. Lord, we're just asking you, have your way. Pierce our hearts from this. Don't let us coast. But instead, Lord, work now, we pray. Work amongst us and work within us by your Spirit. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's work our way through our passage this morning and see what God has for us. Go back to verse 1 here in chapter 5 of Luke. It begins by telling us, it says, "So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat." So the setting is this. Jesus has begun his public ministry. He's becoming more and more well known. He's been working awesome works of healing and speaking very gracious, loving words. So the crowds are multiplying, they're gathering. And here he is now by the Lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. He's there by the Galilee, and the crowds are just pressing in all around him. And so he decides to commandeer a boat. There's Peter's. So he commandeers Peter's boat, and he has Peter push out a little bit from the edge. Just get out a little space, a little water there. Everybody's on the shore. Now he's in this boat a little bit from the edge, so he might speak to them and they could all hear better. So here he is, sharing. Now, this is not Peter's first time to meet Jesus. We read in Matthew 4 and Mark 1, both of those record for us the first calling of Peter. So Peter has seen Jesus work. He's heard Jesus teach. He's watched the miracles and all. He's been a part of that. But for some reason, and we're not told, but for some reason on this day, we find that Peter has gone back to fishing. But he won't end the day the way he started it. Verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, see, we don't even read the message that Jesus spoke on that occasion. That's not Luke's focus. Instead, it's what God's about to do right here. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." As Jesus calls Peter now, look, launch out, go out of the deep water and let's throw in the nets. Well, Peter points out that, Lord, we've already done that. Matter of fact, we spent all night doing that. That which you're asking me to do, I've already been doing, and it was fruitless. There was nothing that came of it. We caught nothing. If we're going to be successful in this, don't we have to come up with some new way of catching fish? No, just let Jesus be in charge of the net casting, and the results will be up to him. You know, how often do I hear people say, be it in counseling with people or just out and about ministering in different settings, but how often as I've shared with someone, maybe pointing out what the Word of God says or whatever, how often have I heard people say just that thing? Oh, I've tried that, but it didn't work. How often have perhaps you replied to the Lord when he told you to do something, but Lord, I've tried that, and nothing came of it. I've already done that. Maybe several times you've done it. Like Peter fished all night, casting that net over and over. So we trot out before the Lord. Well, Lord, I've already tried that. I already reached out to that person, or I made some effort over there, or I did this thing, and I knocked on that door, and it didn't open the first time, or how many times? So Lord, why are you telling me to do it again? But see, if you don't do it when God tells you to, if you don't do that, then how will you experience what he wants to do? See, it's come to a crucial point here in Peter's life. God wants to do something in and through Peter. But Peter's got to make a choice about this thing. So we see right away here, yes, maybe you have tried something before. But now he's asking you to try it at his leading. You can always be sure that God is doing something if he's asking you to do it. He wants to do something in you or through you. So Peter says, Master, we've tried this. We've toiled all night, caught nothing. But give Peter credit. He quickly adds, nevertheless, no matter what you've tried before, no matter what has gone on before, at his word, just do it. So he says, nevertheless, which brings us to this great hinge, if you will, upon which all of this swings. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So we come to those five words I talked about that are so crucial, where Peter says, at your word, I will. Look at those first three words. At your word. Consider who it is that's speaking to Peter. When he says to him, at your word, that's so important. At your word. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He's talking about that creation process. God spoke, and there it was. John teaches us it is this very same Jesus through whom everything was made. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. So it's at Jesus' word. It's when God speaks, at your word. Consider what happens when we obey God's word, when it's God speaking and we act upon it. At your word, Noah built an ark and delivered him and his family. At your word, Abraham believed God's word and it was counted unto him for righteousness. At your word, Moses delivered the Israelites through the sea. At your word, Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, God has a light. He has a way for me to go. And it's the best, but it's up to me if I'll put my foot there. Will I argue it, debate it, or will I just walk where he says? This catch of fish is due to who is saying this to him. It's Jesus speaking, not just any word, but God's word. There's so many people, so many groups, so many books out there, all these people that would want to tell you how to live your life. What to do, what not to do, all these things. They're all competing for you. Who do you listen to? Who do you live by? It's at God's word. He says it's at your word. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Do you want to live a life with meaning? Do you want to walk such a way that you know it'll get you where you desire? A life that'll be in harmony with God and have that fruitful, blessed life. Not perfect, not a bed of roses, I'm saying, but a life in fellowship with God and experiencing his work. Do you want a life that will be on a foundation? Jesus says, whoever builds on my words is building on that solid rock foundation at your word. So make sure you're careful who you obey and who you listen to. But that leads us to the second point, because there's five words here. There's five words that open the door to the Lord doing an awesome work. Peter said, at your word, I will. And that speaks of a response to what God has said, what God has called Peter to do. At your word, I will. Smart choice, Peter. That's our part in this whole thing. And what folly it is to debate God. Oh, the folly of delaying. the folly of not trusting, the folly of not believing, the folly of not obeying. God wants to work. He always wants to work. He didn't save us to put us on a shelf, but to come into fellowship with Him and then experience that work in and through our lives He desires, giving us purpose and meaning, and we discover why we're here as He does that work in and through us. So God always wants to work, but the question is, will you be available for Him to do it? Will He find us saying, at your word, I will debate you, I will counteract, I will trot out the reasons why I don't think it's so? Or will He just saying, Lord, you said it, I'll do it? That's the person who's going to be blessed. See, at your word, I will speaks of surrender. That's being available, isn't it? At your word, I will. That's obedience. You see, that's speaking about a boat, and the boat here represents life, your life. So this is a boat, a life, not just with Jesus in the boat, but Jesus in charge of the boat. In verse 5 here, when Simon Peter uses the word master, it's a Greek word that actually means like the captain of a boat. You're not just in my boat, Lord, you're captain of my boat. So many people receive Jesus. Sounds good. Oh, you're going to save me, forgive me. Okay, that's cool. Lord, get on in. You can have the back seat. Hop in. But I still want the steering wheel because I got plans and I got desires and dreams and I know what's best for me and I figure this life out and I'm going to get there. But Lord, you can ride along with me. That's wonderful, but I'm still going to steer. The Lord's asking for more. This is speaking about not just Him being in the boat, but in charge of the boat. At your word, I will. In this case, it was cast out the nets. I will do what you're calling me to do. That's the challenge this morning for everybody here. Well, let's read what goes on next here, verse 6. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. See, now the Lord's in charge, so a different result. And their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I will is an action word. It is a response, not just an intention. It doesn't say here, at your word, I will think about it. At your word, I will intend to do this. At your word, next year, once I get these projects all squared away, then I'll do it. No, he says, at your word, I'll cast out the nets. I'll do what you're saying, and I'll do it now. So it's an action it's calling for, a response. It's acting on what God is saying to you. And He is saying something to each of us. What did the I will lead Peter to? What did it get for him? A full net of fish. What does saying I will, whatever you say, Lord, I will, it means a life lived in the purposes of God. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. As Peter is confronted by who Jesus is, he's the Messiah. He even creates fish. He's in charge of the fish and everything else. As Peter is confronted by who Jesus is, he's confronted with who he is. Seeing Jesus caused him to see himself. And his conclusion was a very accurate one. Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Once you see Jesus, that will always be the response. Lord, you are you and I'm me, and what a gap. What a difference. And his The inclination was, so depart from me. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this kind of work in my life. I don't deserve you to work in or through my life. Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. I don't deserve this. Isn't it interesting? God calls us. He speaks to us. He wants to love us and work in us and through us. He calls us that He might do just that, work in us and through us. And what do we do in response to that? We trot out all the reasons why He can't. or shouldn't. God speaks to you and says, I want to do this in your life. I want to work in you or through you. And what do? We start telling him all about, Lord, well, Lord, you understand, Lord, I'm really, you don't know what I did. Or you don't know what I'm like. Or you don't know what I think sometimes. Or what I've been into. And we trot out all these things to God as if he didn't know. You know, what's Peter going to, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinner. Do we read Jesus say, oh, really? Oh, wow, Peter, I didn't know that one. You know what, Peter, forget the whole thing then. If you're a sinner, I don't want to mess around with you. You're not going to tell something to God he doesn't know about you. But the call still remained. It didn't negate what God wanted to do in and through Peter, and it doesn't negate it for you. That's so important. We're sitting there telling God why he can't, as if he doesn't know these things. Of course you're a sinner. Of course you're not worthy of his love and his work in and through your life. Of course you're not qualified. But that's not the issue. What he's asking is, will you say, at your word, I will? He's just looking for your availability, not your ability. See, this is what Jesus can do when men and women will surrender what they have and who they are to Jesus. When some fishermen just say, my boat is yours, my nets are yours, let's go for it. What do you have that isn't from God anyway? It's all his, just giving it back and saying, Lord, use it all. Have your way in it all. And that's exactly where he wants, and that's the blessed life. What happens next? Verse 9. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. They're all astonished at what's going on. They had caught nothing on their own, and now there's this boat full of fish. Peter, James, John, they're all astonished. They can't believe it. But look at what Jesus says. Do not be afraid. Again, Jesus knows their spiritual condition. He knows who he's dealing with. Same for us. And he still has this call for them. From now on, you will catch men. I'm going to make you fishers of men. You've been fishing for fish. From now on, you're going to start fishing for men. It's all about availability. Verse 11. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. The apostles had a choice now. They'd seen God work, but he had a call for them through it. You see, they could get back to land and go, hey, that was pretty neat. Let's go get a burger and talk about it. Or they can say, the one who says, cast out nets, the one who causes nets to be full is saying, follow me. And at that point, they had a choice. Same for us. They chose to follow Jesus. They chose to act upon his call upon their life. They chose to obey him. Jesus had not come along on this whole thing. He had not come along with them to give them a good catch and a good day's wage and say, bye, I'll see you later. He came to change their priorities forever. That's important to remember. Following the Lord may not mean a change in profession. Make sure you hear that. But it will mean a change in priorities. It'll mean that what you do now will be available to him to use any way he wants. They had a choice to make, didn't they? God clearly worked and spoke to them and said, now, follow me. Will you be someone who daily says, at your word, I will? God is speaking to you this morning, clearly. In a few moments, we'll go out the door and head out. And of course, there's a place for the things of our lives, the family and friends and all those things we have. But the bigger issue is, what will you really be about? Will you, just like they could have done, said, that was fun, that was interesting. Oh, well, let's go back to our fishing. we say, well, that was kind of a nice message, or that was interesting, and go about things the same old way? Or will you today be one who leaves and says, you know what, I'm having a change in priorities. I'm going to start living every day with my heart being in response to that very statement, at your word, I will. Now, they were fishermen, so he's using a fishing example. He's saying, you were fishing for fish, now I'm going to use you to fish for men. But as I said, even though it was a change of profession for them, if you will, a change of what they were about, for some of us it may be just that. Others, you might be just where you're at, but he wants you to have a change of priority. He's just taking what they do. It might be like saying to a lawyer, up till now you've worked at keeping people out of jail. From now on, I want you to work at keeping people out of hell. He might say to the person in construction, up till now you've just been about building buildings. From now on, I want you to be about building the kingdom of God. Oh, you'll still do the things you do, but they'll simply now be a means to the greater end. That you'll begin to not just think about your agenda for the day, but over it all, there'll be that, at your word, I will. Let's take a few moments and think about some personal application. Peter here is told to cast out the nets. What are the nets that this all applies to for us? What nets would they go on to use now in the future? Well, of course, it's the gospel. The gospel is the net that they would go out now to throw out to this world. The good news. Gospel means good news. It's the fact that there is forgiveness of sins available. We can know that we're going to heaven through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. If we will but accept, we'll receive of that. We'll understand we're sinners, but he died for that and received that work. We can be heaven bound. And that is the good news. Now, I don't know a lot about fishing. But for you guys to do, and I know there's many here in the fellowship that enjoy fishing, but I don't do a lot of fishing, so bear with this example. But let me ask you something. For you guys that do fish, or women, I'm not trying to be, you know, we're gender neutral here on this. But for any of you that fish, if I were all of a sudden brought out this really awesome fishing rig, you know, this really awesome reel and really great pole and everything, and I showed you this thing and you're going, whoa, and you saw this thing and you're admiring and all, and let's say we began to talk about this rod and reel outfit and everything, somewhere in the conversation I suspect that you would ask me, well, how does it handle? You know, have you caught anything with it? And what if I said to you, oh, I don't fish with it. I keep it at home in the closet. I just like it there, and I like to look at it and think about it, and I like to get around other fishermen and show it to them. We talk about all this, what we have available to us, you know, with these, but I don't really fish with it. Well, if you're a fisher person, I suspect you go, that's kind of sad. You see, fishing poles are for fishing. Nets are for casting. And the gospel is for sharing. The gospel isn't to be kept in the closet at home, or when we get together with other fishermen to talk about what a great net we have. It's to be thrown out. Now, I know the reaction right away is like, oh, man. Because we think we have to be theologians or something in this whole thing. If I go start to share, I may not say it right. Do you know, all he's asking you to do is share what he's done in your life. All he's asking you to do is be available. Because you know what people really respond to is love and caring. And just to be there when someone's going through a rough time, maybe at school or work or somewhere in your neighborhood, and just say, you know, may I pray for you? May I share something in my life? You know, I'll tell you, I was hungry. I was spiritually hungry. I'm just a beggar, but can I tell you where I found some bread? I was spiritually thirsty, but I found living water. May I share that with you? You see, you're sitting here saved, if you are saved this morning, because somebody in your life obeyed, they said, at your word, I will. and they risk talking to you or sharing with you or praying for you or whatever it was. And who knows how many people along the way were praying or sharing until you came to that point. Somebody was obedient. They said, okay, Lord, use me. And we walk away sometimes saying, oh, I should have said that different or better. Well, you can grow in all that. But you know what people react to is if you genuinely care about them. And just share God's love. And there's an answer. There's a way now. You can know peace. You can know God. You can know purpose and meaning. Fishing poles are for fishing, and the gospel is for sharing. Are you sharing it? Have you been sharing it? I lovingly encourage you. I exhort you. It is God's fishing net. It is the power of God unto salvation. Don't be afraid to put it out there. The master says, cast out. Are you? Or do you keep your pole locked up at home? I invite you. I ask you, will you partner with me and others in this fellowship in casting out the net? Be open individually in the places God has put you. And for some, that might be to go to Africa, and some of you might be just to go right back into that school or into that job site and be used by Him. But even collectively as a church, to pray for, to financially support, prayerfully support, to be the sender or the one who goes, be it into our own community or beyond. But why are you available? Is the boat of your life available? Would you say, here I am, send me? Would you answer, like Peter does, at your word, I will? For some of you, we need to start at the basics. We're talking about letting God use your boat. I suspect for some of you, He's not even in the boat yet. If the boat represents your life, you got to invite Him in first. One night, Jesus was talking to a guy named Nicodemus, and He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again if you're ever going to see heaven. Nicodemus goes, what? How can you be born again? So Jesus said to him and explained to him, and it came down to that well-known verse, which He said, here's how. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him, heart believe in Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. You got to invite Him into your life. Now, I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not saying, oh, ask Jesus in to be your fishing buddy. He'll be a good friend. No, you must come to the point you recognize you're a sinner. And that sin has separated you from God. But in His love, He reached down for you. He's done what you couldn't do yourself. He paid for those sins. But you got to acknowledge your need and receive His answer. You got to have Him in the boat first of all. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You have to receive it. But now I want to speak to you, believer. Jesus is in your boat. Think about those five words we thought about this morning, we've looked at. At your word, I will. I want to challenge you. As you sit here this morning, do you need to apply those five words to something in your life? Something that you know He's talking to you about. Something He's been nudging you about. Something He's been encouraging you to do. I don't know what it might be. It might be in sharing the gospel, or it might be in trying to reconcile a relationship. And maybe one that you've already tried. You've already cast your net there. Nothing happened. He's saying, I want you to do it again, maybe. Or whatever it might be. Whatever it might be. Is there something? And you know what? I know there's something He's saying to each of us, because how many people here are perfect? No one. We haven't arrived. That means we're all under construction. That means there's something He wants to do today in or through us. Now, we can say, at your word, I will, and experience that work, or we can fight Him for the steering wheel. We can resist the work and miss out and think somehow we've benefited when actually we're the loser for it. Every single person in the body of Christ has their part. So there's something He wants to do in you, and you, and you, and you. All of us. But the turning point for Peter and the turning point for us when we'll experience that work is, Lord, at your word, you're saying it to me, I will. And then whatever comes after it, fill it in, whatever comes after it. It means surrender. It means obedience. Maybe you have tried it before and it didn't work. Maybe it doesn't make sense to you. That's not the issue. Maybe it is contrary to everything you've experienced up to this point. That's not the issue. It's what he's calling you to do now. This is the first weekend of November, and I found myself last night thinking about something. It was the first three weekends of November 1996 when Kathy and I came down here to visit with this church and kind of get to know each other and see what God might have for all of us. November 96. Was anybody here back then? Anybody here back when Kathy and I first came? Wow. You've hung in there with me. That's something. What a miracle, huh? When we came here and God said to us, El Cajon, Lord, at your word, we will. And we came here. Now that wasn't the first time, nor has it been the last, that God has indeed. It should be our experiences every single day in which we are saying, at your word, I will. And then having the awesome journey of finding out what that is and doing it. And it's there. He's not that hard to hear if we'll just listen and admit it and be willing to act on it. So whether you were here back then in 96 or this is your first Sunday, we're together now. And God has something he wants to do in us and through us individually and collectively. But will he find us saying, at your word, I will, we will, going for it, casting nets, reconciling, praying for, reaching out, whatever it might be. See, for all of us, this is not just a story, it's a call. For every believer, this is a call. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. Whatever the Lord's saying to you, and I believe because I know he has things he's doing. Whatever he's saying to you, the question becomes, what will be your answer? My prayers will be, Lord, at your will, at your word, I will. Let's stand. Is Jesus in your boat? Have you really invited him into your heart? If you have not, but you recognize your need, as the team comes up and we close out in song, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Please get eternity settled by asking Jesus in. I didn't say by coming to church, giving money, nothing like that. By asking Jesus into your heart. You've got to start there. But believer, have you done that? Then what's he saying? And what will we do as we go out? And what will each day find us saying? Will he be about us? Or will he find us saying, at your word, I will? Will he find us being available? Will he find us casting our nets or just reaching out or praying for or being involved in or going for it, whatever it is? See, whatever is going on in your life, whatever you're struggling with, the answer is right there in verse 5. How will we respond to God's word? I pray it'll be just like these words. At your word, I will. Father, you're the one who searches hearts. And you know each of us. You know where we're at with you, Lord. You know if there's anybody here that doesn't really know you. And you love them and you're calling out to them. And I pray, Lord, they'd quit fighting and just open up. Just receive. And Lord, for those who by your mercy and grace, you brought us into this communion with you, this fellowship with you. Lord, thank you that you've begun a good work. You're going to complete it. And every day is part of that. And that there's things you want to do in and through us. And Lord, I believe you're speaking. You're talking to each about something you want to do or or just whatever it might be. Some it's obedience, some it's just acting upon, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray you just find all of us just responding at your word, I will. And as we do, Lord, may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.